Good evening. It's so good to see you this Wednesday evening as we've come together to worship God in this series of gospel meetings. Been enjoying my time with the church here so much. As was mentioned, halfway point, at least in the week, we're over halfway through the sermons in this series of gospel meetings. It's been flying by from my perspective, maybe not yours, but from mine. And we have a couple more nights, but we won't wish those nights away. I'm just glad to be with you this evening. And I know, as was mentioned, there are visitors from other places. We're glad that you're here as well. But so good to see so many members out. As we come to a Wednesday evening, generally we find that it is more local people and also more Christians that come on those evenings. And so I want to talk about a subject that is important to all Christians. Steve alluded to just a moment ago, we're going to talk about the subject of prayer. Prayer is something that we as the children of God have been given the privilege of and that we ought to be taking advantage of. You remember that Paul taught in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17 that we should pray without ceasing. And so we're individuals that need to be praying and that need to be praying too often to God. But then I think about James chapter 5 and verse 16. James 5 verse 16, James says, "The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Now, something I want you to think about from that. If prayer can be effective, then I must also understand that there is prayer that is ineffective. And we want our prayers to be prayers that are effective, that have effect, that are as God has taught us that those prayers ought to be. And there are a number of things that we can say about prayer. Several sermons I have on the subject, but tonight I want to focus in on a certain aspect of effective prayer, and that is the idea of praying in faith. As we think about the idea of praying in faith, I want you to appreciate that this is something that is noted time and again in Scripture. First, in Matthew chapter 21, in verse 22, Jesus said this, "And whatever things you ask in prayer," watch this, "believing, you will receive." Jesus said, when you pray, if you want to receive, you have to believe. Again, we can consider the words of Mark chapter 11, verses 22 through 24. When Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." And then Jesus said this, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." Jesus teaches to have the things that we ask for when we pray. We must believe. We must have faith. Again, in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8, there Paul told Timothy, "I desire therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath," and watch this, "doubting." Paul's desire, God's desire then is that men would pray, but that they would pray without doubt, and instead they would pray in faith. And then turn with me in your Bibles to James chapter 1 in verses 5 through 8. In James chapter 1, beginning in verse 5, we read these words. James said, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God," he's talking about prayer, "who gives to all men liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." Watch this. "But let him ask in faith." He goes on to say, "with no doubting, for he who doubts is as a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man," that is the man who prays without faith and instead with doubt, "suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord." What is James saying? James is saying simply this, that if you go to God in prayer and in that prayer you do not have faith, do not expect to receive even the first thing that you ask for from God. Our prayers are ineffective. God has said, essentially, "I will not hear that prayer," that is, with a mind to answer that prayer, if it is not prayed in faith. And so, when we look at these passages, we see underscored in the Bible the importance of prayer, yes, but the importance of praying in faith. But then that brings us to the question. If I have to pray in faith for my prayers to be effective, for God to hear them, and for God to answer them, how do I do that? What does it mean to pray in faith? And that's what I want to spend the remainder of our time together in discussion of is how we pray in faith. As we consider the idea of praying in faith, let me first say that to pray in faith, you must pray with faith in prayer's effectiveness. That is, that prayer can truly have an effect. I must believe, we can say it this way, in the power of prayer. Unfortunately, some do not. And let me also say this, unfortunately, some brethren do not. I have heard brethren talk about prayer in such a way as if they believe it's only therapeutic in its value. And what I mean by that is this, is that basically when you pray, it makes you feel better to know that God has heard and those things. But essentially, the prayer doesn't get out of the room that you're praying it in. That it makes you feel better about the situation, but that's really all that it does. But I want you to appreciate that the Bible teaches something completely different than that. Notice again, James chapter 5 and verse 16. In James chapter 5 and verse 16, James says, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed." But watch this. The effective, that is, prayer is effective. The effective prayer of a righteous man avails or accomplishes, what does he say? Much. And we need to have faith in that. That prayer is powerful. That much can be accomplished by the prayers that we offer to our great God in heaven. And James doesn't just say that. He gives us an example in the next two verses. Notice what he said. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again and the heavens gave rain and the earth produced its fruit. Notice what he's saying. He said Elijah was a man with a nature just like ours. What's that mean? It means that Elijah was a man just like you and me. Yes, he was a prophet of God, but he was just a man like you and me. His prayer in this regard was just like the prayers that we offered. But Elijah prayed in faith. And when Elijah prayed in faith, this is how effective, this is how powerful, this is how much prayer can avail. He prayed that it wouldn't rain, and God stopped rain for 3.5 years. Based on the prayer of a man like you and me. And then prayer is so effective that after it hadn't rained for 3.5 years, Elijah prays again and God answers by sending the rain. If prayer is powerful enough to move God to stop the rain and then start it again after such a long period of time, we must believe that our prayers are effective today. That prayer is a powerful tool that God has given us. But if you don't believe that, if you don't believe that prayer is powerful, that prayer can avail much, that prayer can accomplish much, that prayer can be change things, that prayer is given to a God who will act, that it's able to do great things, then you're not praying in faith. And as we talked about before, you shouldn't expect that prayer to be answered. God says, "I won't answer your prayer." If you don't pray in faith, in the effective power of prayer, that prayer is powerful. But another thing, I want you to also appreciate with me that praying in faith means praying with faith in God's power, which builds upon that last point. To pray in faith, I must also believe that God has the power to do what I am asking Him to do. That is, that if I ask God to do something, if I'm going to pray that prayer in faith, I must believe with my whole heart that God is able to do the thing that I am asking Him to do. Sometimes maybe we lack that. Let me give you an example. A preacher friend of mine, he is a friend of mine. We were visiting a hospital. I was there in a meeting. We were visiting a hospital. We went into this hospital room and somebody was in really bad shape in the hospital, one of the members. And they were sick and they were close to death. They were doing end-of-life treatments almost. And when we get to that point, the other preacher, he asked, "Can we have a prayer?" Which is pretty common at hospital visits. And he prayed a prayer. And in that prayer, he prayed, and I'm not giving my friend a hard time, but what he prayed is he said, "God, we pray that you'd help brother so-and-so to get better and to be able to recover and to be able to go home." And he prayed all those things. And then we walked out of the room and started walking down the hall. And he said, "You know what? He's not long for this earth." Now, the prayer that he prayed, was it prayed in faith in the power of God? No, it wasn't. May have been words that might have helped the person maybe feel better, but it wasn't prayed with faith in a God that was powerful enough to do what he was asking him to do. But when we pray to God, if we're to pray in faith, we must have faith that God is able to do the thing that we are asking him to do. Now, let me say this. It is true that there are some things that God has said that he will not do. I appreciate that. But we must never doubt the unlimited power of God to do anything else other than those things. Remember the words of Genesis chapter 18 and verse 14. In Genesis chapter 18, as God makes great promises to Abraham, he said this, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" What's your answer to that question? Do you believe that there is anything that is too hard for God to do? No, there is nothing that is too hard for God. Again, in Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 27. Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 27, we read this. "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh." And God asks again, "Is there anything too hard for me?" It's a rhetorical question. The answer is no. He is God. He is the God of all flesh. He is the Creator. He made everything. He sustains everything. There is nothing that is too hard for our all-powerful God to do. And we need to remember that. Sometimes I think we forget it. Sometimes I think we forget it. And one of the reasons is because of this. Now, let me say this. I want you to listen carefully to me. It is true that the time of God working miracles through men by the power of the Holy Spirit has passed. That is true. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verses 8 through 10 teaches that is true. We do not have the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the miraculous gifts today, where we can work miracles. But even though that time has passed in that way, I want you to understand that God has not stopped being God. When that time ended, that God worked by the power of the Holy Spirit miracles through men, God did not stop being God and decide, "I'm going to sit on my hands on my throne in heaven and I'm not going to act because I'm not able to anymore." That is not what you find in the Bible. If you find that, show me where it's at. It's not there. And by the way, if that's true, that God has stopped being God, why do we pray for some of the things that we do? Why do we pray for sickness if God is not able to act on the sickness? Why do we pray for situations if God is not able to act in the situation? Why do we pray, and I appreciate this, oftentimes for preachers to have a good memory when they're up here preaching, if God is not able to act in the situation? Why do we pray for those things? You see, my point is this. I think in the mind of some brethren, they ought to offer their prayers to the pharmaceutical companies, to the doctors, to the surgeons, to the bankers, and all of those things, because that's how they believe everything gets done. But God is still God. The God that you read about in the Old Testament, the God that you read about in the New Testament, is still God today and is still able to act. But nevertheless, sometimes we limit his power because we doubt the power of God. I love the words of Paul in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, notice the confidence that Paul had in God when he said this. "Now to him who is able," watch this, "to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us." How much is God able to do? Paul says this, God is able to do, and I love these modifiers, exceedingly, abundantly, above. God is able to do so much more, that is. So much more than anything that you could possibly ask him to do. Anything that you could even think of. Now, here's the thing. Like I said, there's some things God said that he will not do. But if you were to think of the most amazing thing, the hardest thing that you could think of for God to do, God is able to do so much more than that. And that is the God that we serve today. That is the God that is on his throne today. That is the God that is working today. And that is the God that we pray today. And we need to remember that when we're praying. That whatever I ask God to do, if it is not something that He has said that He will not do, He has the power to do it. And I need to pray with faith in that. That my God is all powerful and my God is able to do all things. And if I don't pray with that faith in the power of God, then I'm not praying in faith. And as we talked about earlier, I shouldn't expect God to answer those prayers because I don't believe that God can do what I'm asking Him to do. You see, praying in faith involves praying with faith in the unlimited power of God to act. Another element of praying in faith is praying with faith in God's care. Here's the thing, I must not only believe that God is powerful enough to do what I'm asking Him to do, I must also believe that God cares enough about me to be concerned about what I'm asking Him to do. We have to have this trust in prayer. It's like a story, maybe you've heard it before, of a place where they were having a bad drought and crops weren't growing or dying and things were terrible, and 10 women, they got together and they were going to pray to God for rain. And only one of them brought an umbrella. That was the one that had faith in God's power, but also faith in God's care. Went to pray in faith that God is able to do this and God cares about us enough to send the rain. And that's the kind of faith that we need, that God cares for us. Remember what Peter said over in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, he said, casting all your cares upon Him. We do that in prayer. Do you remember why he said we can do that? For He careth for you. God cares for you. As one of His children, God is concerned about you. Let me also say this, God wants the very best for you, the Bible would teach us. And I need to believe that when I go to God in prayer, that God cares enough to act on my behalf in those prayers. Look over at Matthew chapter 6 with me. Sermon on the Mount. Notice a point that Jesus is making. He's talking in the context about not being worried, but He speaks of the care of God, which applies to our point. In Matthew chapter 6 in verse 26, Jesus said, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are they you not of more value than they? Jesus said, listen. God has care for the birds of the air, but you are much more valuable than them. Now, if God cares for the birds of the air and you're more valuable than them, that teaches us what? God cares for you greatly. God wants to bless you. God wants to provide for you. You come down a few verses later in verses 28 and 29, and Jesus says, so why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. God cares about the flowers in the field. Are you more important than the flowers of the field? Sure you are. In fact, that's the point in the next verse, verse 30. He says, now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? A lack of faith in God's care. And that applies to prayer as well. When I pray to God, I have to believe God cares about the birds of the air. God cares about the lilies of the field. I'm more important to God than all of those things, so God cares about me. God cares about what I'm going through. God cares about what I'm facing. God cares about what I need. And when I pray to God, I need to have faith in that. That I am praying to a God who loves me and who cares for me. Here's the thing to remember if you're a Christian. You are His child. Drop down to the next chapter, Matthew chapter 7. Notice beginning with me in verse 9, down through verse 11. Jesus said, or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? He talks about a father's care. He said, look, fathers, I can relate to this as a father. He said, if your son, and I don't have sons, but my daughter, if she come and asks for bread because she's hungry, because she's in need of food, am I going to give her a stone and say, here, chew on this? No, I'm not going to do that. Why? Because I love her and I care about her. If she asks me for a fish to eat, am I going to give her a snake that's going to bite her? No, I'm not going to do anything to harm her. I'm going to want to do good things for her because I love her and I care about her. Here's Jesus' point. If you fathers, being evil men, that is sinful men, if your desire is to give good gifts to your children and you bless them because you love them, how much more, he says, is God desirous to bless us? That's something I want you to see. Jesus' point is this, is that God wants to bless you. God wants to answer your prayers. We'll talk about how in just a moment. But God wants to do that. Why? Because He loves you and He cares about you. And I have to believe that when I go to God in prayer. And when I believe that and I have that faith in God's care, then I find peace in prayer. Over in the book of Philippians, in chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Paul says, be anxious for nothing. That's don't worry. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made unto God. He's talking about praying. He says, and when you do this, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall comfort your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Notice that. That prayer is to bring about peace. But let me say that prayer only brings about peace and alleviates anxiety when I have faith in a God that is powerful enough to act and I have faith in a God that cares about me. That's when you find peace in prayer. Because if I don't have faith in God's care, what I do is this, is I take things to God, I pray about the things, I let my requests be made known unto Him. But I think, well, God doesn't care enough to act and to help. And so I pick all those things back up and I carry them around with me. And that's not the idea. Remember, as we noted a moment ago, as Peter said, casting all your cares upon Him, throwing those things upon Him, because we know that He cares for us. And I find peace in that fact that God cares for me. But again, I want to point out that if I don't pray with faith in the care of God for me, that God loves me, that God cares for me, that God wants to do what's best for me, that God wants to bless me, then I'm not praying in faith. And I shouldn't expect those prayers to be answered. I have to pray with faith in God's care. That brings us to the last point, which all these things are leading up to, that I want to share with you this evening, is that to pray in faith, I must pray in faith that God is going to answer. So important. When I recognize that prayer is effective, the Bible teaches me, and I believe that. When I pray with faith in the fact that I serve an all-powerful God, and that's who I'm making my appeal to, who can do anything and everything. There is nothing beyond His power. When I pray to a God believing that my God, who is all-powerful, cares for me, loves me, wants to do what's best for me, and wants to bless me, then I must have faith in the fact that God is going to answer. Because faith in those prior points leads to faith in an answer from God. Do you remember that famous country song? Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. Let me tell you that I don't believe that among the children of God that any of the prayers that are prayed in faith go unanswered. I just believe they're answered in different ways. Why? Because God has promised to answer our prayers in a number of passages. Notice a couple with me. If you're still open to Matthew chapter 7, look at verses 7 and 8. Matthew 7, 7 and 8, it says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive. Notice what Jesus said. Ask and it will be given to you. Everyone who asks does what? Receives. You see the answer to a prayer. Again, over the book of James in chapter 1 and verse 5. Remember, as we were talking about praying for wisdom, James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, that is pray, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. Notice the answer. And it will be given to him. God is going to answer that prayer, of course, if it's prayed in faith. Then I go to 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Notice what John says. Now, this is the confidence. That is, this is something that you have absolute assurance of, that you can be confident of, that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. So notice this. This is a confidence that we have. That when we pray to God, of course in faith, as we're talking about tonight, if it's according to His will, He hears us. And if He hears us and it's according to His will, what is He going to do? He's going to give it to us. Every time God is going to do that. You can be confident of that. But God will answer our prayers. As I said, I don't believe there are any unanswered prayers for the children of God. I believe God, like we do oftentimes, answers prayers in three different ways. You know, I have a daughter that's 18 now. She drives all over the place. Still scares me to death. But anyway, back when she was 14 years old, okay, she said, "Dad, give me the keys. I want to go and meet my friends, hang out with them. Let me drive the car." What am I going to say? I'm going to say no. And I'm going to say no because that's not good for my 14-year-old daughter to have the keys to my car and be driving down the road. I'm going to say no because it's not good for her. Now, let's say when she turns 15 and she gets her permit and she's driving a little bit, but she comes to me one night. She says, "Dad, let me have the keys. I want to go and hang out with my friends. I'll be back a little bit later." What am I going to say then? Well, then what I'm going to say is it's still a no at that point, but I'm going to say later. You know, you've been driving. You're just not ready to drive by yourself yet. It's not the right time. It's not good for you yet, but I'm going to give it to you later. And now, even though I gave her a car, she's 16 years old, got her driver's license. It's a good time. She says, "Dad, I want to go and hang out with my friends." What am I going to say then? Yes. But you see, even when I told her no, or I told her later, it's not that I didn't care for her. It's because in the first place, it wasn't my will and it wasn't good for her when she was too young. When she just had the permit, she just wasn't ready for what she was asking yet. And so that's why I said later. And then there's a time when it's good and for her benefit and I can say yes. And that's how God does with us. God will sometimes answer our prayers no. Even our prayers that are prayed in faith. Let me give you a couple of examples. Jesus in the garden when He prayed. Do you remember His prayer? "Let this cup," that's the cup of the suffering of the cross. He said, "Let this pass by me." That was His prayer. His prayer was essentially, "Father, do not make me go through what I'm about to go through." How did God answer that prayer? Of His only Son. He answered that prayer, no. It was His will that He would go through that. Then I can read in Paul's letter to the church of Corinth concerning Paul's thorn in the flesh. He pleaded, he prayed to the Lord three times asking that that thorn in the flesh would be removed. Do I believe that Paul prayed those things in faith? Yes, I do. But what was the Lord's answer? No, I'm not going to take it away. We need to appreciate that sometimes God answers our prayers in the negative. No. If every time we prayed for someone who was sick to be better, and God answered all those in the affirmative, there would be no death, wouldn't there? If every time we were facing a situation, God answered in the affirmative, it may not be God's will or it may not be the right thing for us. And sometimes it's just the consequences like death and sickness of this world that we live in, that sin has been introduced into with all of its problems. And sometimes God has to answer those prayers, even the prayers prayed in faith. What? No, because it's a reality of the world that we live in. Then other times, and I've seen this in my life when I prayed for something and I prayed for it so hard and God didn't give it to me. But then later on down the road, the very thing that I'd prayed for maybe years earlier, God gave it to me. And even as I look back at that, I see that when I was praying for it at first, I wasn't ready for it. It wasn't the right time. God knew better than me. And when God answers yes, which is what we want when we pray, we're thankful for those times as well. But whatever God's answer, like Jesus and Paul, we talked about those examples earlier, we always have to have their attitude. You remember even as Jesus prayed that the cup would pass from Him, He said, "Nevertheless, not my will but thine be done." And when God answered no, Jesus said, "Okay, you know best," and went on to the cross. Paul, when he was replied to by the Lord, essentially, "No, I will not remove the thorn in the flesh." Paul didn't get mad at the Lord and say, I'm going to give up and I'm going to quit serving because he said no. Instead, he said, I'll glory in my infirmities. I'm going to keep on serving because I trust that the Lord knows what is best. And sometimes, and I'll say this honestly, sometimes that can be hard when God says no and when God says later. But we need to trust in all the things that we talked about. That yes, God is powerful, but God cares for us, and God will always do what is best for us and what is right according to His will. And we need to continue to have that trust in all things. But if I pray to God saying, you know, I don't know if God will answer this, then you're not praying in faith. Everything that I ask God about, I need to trust that God will answer in the way that is very best for the situation according to His will. Ultimately best for me. You see, I need to have pray with faith in God's answer. Can you see the importance of praying in faith? If you don't remember, God's not going to answer your prayers, and we want our prayers answered. As the children of God, what a beautiful privilege has been given to us, a powerful tool to be able to pray to God. And in order to use that effectively, we need to pray, believing that prayer is effective, that prayer can accomplish so much. And we believe that because we pray with faith in God's power, that our all-powerful God is able to do anything and everything, even above the things that I could even imagine in my wildest dreams to ask Him to do. And I pray with faith in the fact that God loves me and that God cares for me. God wants to bless me, and God wants to do the things that are very best for me as His child. And then I pray with faith in the fact that God will answer every prayer. And I trust in Him, whatever the answer may be, and sometimes it'll be yes, that's what we're looking for. Sometimes it'll be later, and sometimes it might be no. But God, who sees things differently than you and I, who sees the greater picture, who understands all things, and has a perfect plan, I just trust in Him, whatever the answer may be, that His way is best, and continue to love Him and serve Him. You know, on this subject, I want to leave you with one last passage. I've always found this passage interesting. It can be a whole lesson to itself. I have a lesson on this. But in Psalm 78 and verse 41, it says of the people of the Old Testament, yes, again and again, they tempted God. But here's the interesting statement. It says, and they limited the Holy One of Israel. I've always found that interesting because the idea is that they limited God. They limited an all-powerful God. And the reality is, when it comes to our prayers, if we pray without faith, we are limiting God. And I believe that with all my heart. There are so many ways, I believe with all my heart, that God is desirous to bless us, to provide for us, to do good for us, to bring cheer to our hearts, to do those things that are the very best for us, all these blessings that He has stored up for us that sometimes we miss out on because we limit Him by not praying in faith. May we pray in faith that God will hear and that God will answer. Hope these things have been profitable to you. Hope you make application of them. If you haven't already been praying in this way, and I believe if we do this, we'll stand back in amazement at the blessings that will flow from the bountiful hand of our God. But you know, as we've been speaking about prayer this evening, the reality is that prayer is a privilege, and it is, a privilege that is only reserved for the children of God. Even as Peter said, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers. The prayers that God hears and the prayers that God answers are the prayers that are offered by the righteous, by those who are His people. If you're here tonight and you're not a child of God, you don't have the privilege of prayer, this powerful prayer we've been talking about this evening, afforded to you. But you can have that if you become one of His children. That avenue of being able to take all of your cares, all of your concerns, all of your desires to God and lay Him at His feet, knowing that He loves and cares for you as one of His children, and He'll answer every one of those prayers in the way that He deems best. You don't want to miss out on that. We don't want you to miss out on that. So when you become a Christian this evening, God's plan for your salvation is so very simple. You need to hear the wonderful message of Jesus, the Savior who came, died, and shed His blood to wash away your sins. And you need to believe in Him with all of your heart. You need to be willing to turn from your wrongs, to seek to do those things which are right before God. A change of heart that shows itself in a change of life and repentance. You need to make the good confession of your faith, and you can do that even before this audience here this evening, that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And upon that confession, you need to be buried with Christ in the waters of baptism. And when you're baptized, you'll come in contact with the blood of Jesus Christ, and every past sin will be washed away. And you rise up out of those waters to walk in newness of life as a Christian, a child of God, according to Galatians 3, 26 and 27. Able to pray to God, who will hear and answer, and have the hope of an eternal home with heaven with Him in the after while. If you haven't done those things, you need to do them this evening. Maybe you're here, you're a Christian, a child of God, but you've turned away from the way which is right. There's sin in your life. You become unfaithful. That's your situation as an erring child. It affects your prayer life, by the way. In fact, the Old Testament says that the one who regards iniquity in his heart, God will not hear their prayer. That is, if you see there's sin there and you do nothing about it, God refuses to hear your prayers. But you can change that tonight as well, as an erring Christian, by repentance, confession, and prayer. We stand ready to pray with you and to pray for you. If you need to make your life right with God, that this avenue of prayer might be open to you, won't you come forward in obedience by becoming a Christian or returning to the Lord as together we stand and we sing.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus.